You're listening to the Miles to Go podcast, the go-to source for travel tips, news, and reviews you can't afford to miss. Now, here's your host, travel expert Ed Pizza.
Welcome back to another episode of the Miles to Go podcast, where we bring you the latest travel news, tips, and tricks each week to help you save money and travel better. First up on this week's show is Tiffany Funk from One Mile at a Time. She stopped by to talk about the latest addition to a major airline alliance with Royal Air Maroc joining Oneworld. This represents some interesting connections for folks in the U.S. that they really don't have right now. After that, our friend Jen from Deals We Like goes over a host of new Amex offers that will help you cover the annual fees on some of your favorite credit cards. And we wrap up this week with Mike from Coworkaholic, who recently got to try out American Airlines' new premium economy product on an overseas flight to Europe. He'll share all those details with us. As you guys know, we love helping more people travel better, and that begins with you. If you're enjoying the show, please share it with a friend, and be sure to drop us a line and let us know who we should have on future episodes and what questions we can help you answer. You can email me, Ed, at Pizza in Motion, and you can find us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram by searching Miles to Go. Lastly, you'll see a new feature on our website, an orange button that says Send Voicemail. You can record a voicemail for us with your question, and we'll do our best to answer that on the air in a future episode. We'll step away for a brief moment and be back with Tiffany from One Mile at a Time. While we're taking a quick break from the show, I wanted to let you know about our monthly Amazon gift card giveaway. Each month, we're going to give a $50 Amazon gift card to one of our mailing list subscribers. As long as you stay subscribed, you'll have a chance to win each time we have a giveaway. We'll always send you the best travel info, and we'll never sell your email address to anyone. You can subscribe right on our homepage, milestogo.boardingarea.com. Back on the Miles to Go podcast with Tiffany Funk from One Mile at a Time. Tiff, thanks a bunch for being on with us again.
Absolutely.
It's been a while since we've had you on. And, you know, as we were syncing up some time to talk, Oneworld decided to add a new member to their group, Royal Air Maroc, an airline based in Casablanca that actually has a pretty interesting footprint.
Yeah, they do. They've got a pretty interesting route network, so it should be a good addition for, you know, Oneworld travelers or some others, and we can talk about those too, in terms of just sort of expanding the route network and the destinations and just the options for getting from place to place.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if you're not a, you know, just as a sort of a tee up, if you're not an East Coast person, East Coast U.S. person, it'll be a little tough to use their network because right now their destinations are, let's see, New York, my home airport at Dulles. I think they do Montreal. And then did I hear that they were thinking about adding Miami? Yes. Yeah, they are adding Miami.
Yeah, yeah, so, but that's not started yet. But that also, like, I mean, West Coast flyers are a little bit used to that.
Sure.
So, you know, especially with Oneworld, we talk about how it's so difficult to use Oneworld miles to get to Europe, especially for West Coast flyers right now, because, you know, you'd have to connect domestically because there's just not great coverage from the West Coast. And then American doesn't have award space domestically. So it's, you know, whatever. it wouldn't surprise me to have to go to New York in order to fly anything using Oneworld miles. So it's sort of par for the course as far as that goes. But it does open up a lot of really interesting options. You know, they serve a lot of cities in Europe and in getting down to Northern and Central Africa and a couple places in the Middle East. And those are all places that really, you know, could use more connectivity. It gives you options beyond, you know, British Airways, basically. So that's nice.
Yeah. And I think, you know, where I've thought about using Royal Air Maroc in the past, I've not flown them, but I've actually, almost booked them twice recently in the past 3 or 4 months. You know, people are thinking of this airline. Some people may think of this airline as an airline based in Africa, but I think the interesting thing is from a geographical standpoint, especially because they happen to serve my home airport of Washington Dulles. I had a recent trip to Lisbon. Lisbon is obviously fairly southern European area, and it's just as easy for me to fly Dulles Casablanca, Casablanca Lisbon as it would be to fly, you know, Dulles Frankfurt or Dulles Heathrow or Dulles Paris. It could actually be shorter in total time. So I think the one of the benefits that I see, setting aside the mileage side of things for just a second, is as you say about connectivity, it really does double up some nice options to be able to get to some places in Europe and avoid maybe some of the normal choke points. For example, I really, you know, would prefer not to connect in Heathrow if I can help it.
Right. Absolutely. I think that's a great way of thinking about it. And it, I mean, really just looking at maps and latitude, you know, if you wanted to connect a lot of places in Southern Europe, let's say even just Rome, you know, if you're looking at Oneworld, are you going to connect in Helsinki and then go down to Rome? Or it's going to be much, you know, much more direct to go through Casablanca. And they have, you know, Royal Air Maroc has a nice product. They've got lie flat business seats. They've got, you know, 787s. They are, you know, they're a nice airline. They're not huge. They have 50 some odd planes, but you know, that's 50 more aircraft that you could potentially be flying on. So it's better than nothing.
Yeah. And I think Rome's another great example of a place that is tough to get as part of the One World Alliance, tough to get to, if you will, in that there aren't a lot of cities in the U.S. where they serve it on a nonstop basis. So you're, you know, a lot of connecting options. And so, you know, those can obviously get gummed up with folks wanting to go other places. So the, as you say, from a latitude standpoint, being able to go New York or Dulles to Casablanca and then Casablanca to Rome is, you know, a fairly straightforward routing. It's not very circuitous at all. And when you think of, you know, how much of Oneworld funnels through, you know, London from the U.S. and, you know, with a little bit, you know, of traffic through Iberia, you know, this could really help round out some places like Rome where it's tougher to get on Oneworld as opposed to, you know, from a Star Alliance standpoint. I've got tons of ways to get to Rome on United or Lufthansa, you know, overseas.
Right, right. I think this is a good point to add in a big caveat that if you're talking about using American miles, they still have some pretty antiquated routing rules. So you can't actually connect, you could not go from North America to Northern Africa to Europe using American miles. I mean, you can, but you'd pay more.
Oh, you're right.
So that's not an allowed connection point. But it does open up a lot of destinations in Africa that previously you couldn't reasonably get to. So it's for, if you're using American miles, you would probably not want to use them between North America and Europe on Royal Air Maroc, because you're just going to spend a lot of miles, but you're not going to, I mean, we'll have to see how it looks once they open up those reciprocal redemptions, but you might not have fuel surcharges. So it might make sense. You know, it might still balance out versus British Airways. Even for non-Oneworld flyers, the miles to use here are still Etihad guest miles, at least at present, which, I mean, anybody listening should have access to, because there's so many ways to get Etihad miles from all of the different transfer partners that they have. But you can use Etihad miles for business class on Royal Air Maroc. It's basically 44,000 miles one way to anywhere they fly from the U.S. Because they have a distance-based award chart, but 2,000 miles and above is all the same price. So you could go like from, you know, you're in D.C., so you could go from Dulles to Casablanca to Nairobi, 44,000 Etihad miles one way in business class.
Yeah, and for what it's worth, the reason why Royal Air Maroc was on my radar was actually for revenue tickets, in that they actually have some pretty reasonably priced business class revenue tickets from Dulles to places in Europe. So I actually hadn't even thought about them from a mileage standpoint, because obviously when I was considering these itineraries, they weren't hadn't even announced that they were going to be part of Oneworld yet. But I think folks may find some fairly reasonably priced revenue tickets on there. I think we'll have to wait and see what those will actually earn in the grand scheme of things. But right now they have some of the more affordable connections to Europe from my home airport of Dulles.
Yeah, and that's a great option. Just in the meantime, you know, you can't credit those to Oneworld as of yet. I mean, you can. They are still partners with Iberia and Qatar separately from their Oneworld relationship, so you could credit those fares there, depending on the fare class. But if you're somebody who wants to fly Royal Air Maroc before they have full earning and redemption privileges with Oneworld in 2020, I would credit to Etihad Guest. my recommendation.
Yeah, and I had sort of like struggled with where to credit the miles if I had bought the ticket, but it was so much cheaper than all the other revenue tickets I was looking at. It would almost, at that point, didn't matter if I had gone that route just because, you know, it was so much cheaper. Even if I couldn't earn valuable miles, I was saving, I don't know, $1,500 or $2,000 on my trip. As it turned out, they don't run all their flights every day, as you say, because of the size of the airline. So there's a little bit of variability in the schedule. But everything I've heard has been great, and I for one love a good 787 over the ocean.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you, I mean, you do have options. Even if you don't feel like you're earning super valuable miles, there's Etihad, or you can credit to Iberia and then transfer those to BA. You know, there's not no options in the meantime.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if I had to choose, I would probably go the Iberia route. I don't have anything with Etihad right now, so I don't know what else I would have that I'd credit there that that would build up that balance. But that's also just a blind
spot American
for
Express
me.
Express points that you should be accumulating.
I am just see, but you this is you took me behind that woodshed, and I got the card, but it's going to take some time to accrue. So I you know I'm working on it, Tiff. I promise I'm working on it, but I'm working on
you
it.
You could also get like the Capital One Spark Miles card, and you know.
I've thought
about it. Those miles for Etihad guests, it's like 200,000 miles. That's enough for all four of you to.
Yep. No, I've definitely thought about it. I did just pull in the American Express Gold Card, so I've started to accrue some more membership miles, and I have thought about maxing out the Capital One Spark One. That might be the next one I go with. It's definitely interesting, but yeah, folks definitely have options there. And Tiffany likes to keep reminding me that I need to pursue more of those options.
I'm just saying, it'd be good for you. It would be good for everybody, but it would be good for you.
Branch out, Ed. Try something new. Well, awesome. Hey, Tiff, thanks a bunch for being on and talking a little bit about what flyers can expect with Royal Air Maroc when they do officially become part of One World in 2020. When you're not hopping on the podcast with me, tell folks where they can find you.
You can find me over at onemileatatime.com. Or awesome. Instagram at TEBFunk, I guess. I'm off Twitter at the moment. So
you are off Twitter, which is disappointing because you've always been a fun Twitter follow. But we know you'll be back.
Someday.
All right. Well, thanks again. We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast. Back on the Miles to Go podcast with Jen from Deals We Like again. And we did this segment a few months ago, but there's a whole bunch of new Amex offers that we need to catch up on. So if you do have an American Express card and you have hotel stays, it's a great pairing, if you will. Jen, you've written recently about the Marriott deals and some Hilton deals that have popped up for folks. Let's walk through what's out there right now.
Sure. So just recently, actually six new hotel offers within American Express offers have popped up where you can receive a statement credit if you spend a certain amount of money at a particular brand hotel within Marriott and Hilton. So there's actually four different Marriott ones and two different Hilton ones. And this is a great opportunity to really just get money back in your pocket on spend you were typically having at these hotel properties. So for the Marriott ones, there's at Spring Hill Suites, Fairfield, Courtyard, and then 4 points. So they kind of comboed the Marriott and Starwood brands. And those are four separate different offers. So you can take advantage of all four of them on your cards. And from what I saw and from blog posts I've received and reader comments, these are very widely available. So while many times some of them are heavily targeted, you should see these at least one of your American Express credit cards. And all you have to do is spend $200 and you'll get $40 back per offer. So that's pretty awesome. A good way, to save some money.
Yeah, and if you think about what we pay for sign-up bonuses on cards, people will sometimes ask me, how can you afford to keep that many cards with the different sign-up bonuses? And given that can be a little bit like juggling, but, $40 here, $40 there adds up to an annual fee pretty quickly for these cards. And, these are some of the ways that folks like Jen and I can hold so many cards because we're making sure we're getting value for the annual fee.
Absolutely. And like my husband, Adam, he travels a lot for work and he's right now on the Marriott Starwood side of things. We might change that up a little bit, but for now, he's not loyal to staying at a Fairfield Inn versus a Courtyard versus, Spring Hill Suites. So I'll probably just force him to, stay at a different one every time he travels between now and the end of January. And really, he should be able to get that $40 statement credit on all four of these offers. And I might make him do some mattress runnings and stuff, especially since he goes expensive cities, I mean, that's $160 back right then and there on a card that will probably cost, you know, $95. So not only are you, you know, offsetting the annual fee, you're kind of making money as well.
Yeah, we talk so often about earning points for future travel. But you know, certainly there's you're earning points for these stays as well, and you're getting cash back in your pocket. So it's a pretty easy win.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Marriott sees this as a regular paid stay. You know, American Express on the back end is giving you the statement credits. So for them,
it's a nice double dip for folks to put some cash in their pockets. Cool.
Absolutely. Well, there's the Hilton ones too. So let me just touch on those quickly. But that's a $40 statement credit when you spend $175, and that's at either Hampton Inn or Hilton Gardens. So you can't take advantage of it twice. It's just one or the other. And that one's also a little bit more targeted, but seems to be widely available as well. So another way to just offset.
When does that one run through?
That one runs through the end of January as well. So they're both Marriott and Hilton. Both you have, you know, about 2 more months to take advantage. And if you're kind of don't care where you stay and aren't searching for status and, you know, just want to make as much money back and spend the least amount of money as possible, these are great ways to just reduce your costs.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think we saw these come up back in the summertime, maybe late summer, August, September as well. Does that sound right?
Yes, I know within the past year we've seen some, and there's other travel ones available too. So definitely go into AmericanExpress.com, look at your American Express offers and see what's out there. There's many, many, many ways to reduce the cost of your travel just by some of these American Express offers that you would be spending at anyways.
Awesome. Well, Jen, thanks a bunch for walking us through this again. Guys, think about it from the standpoint of this is a great way to make sure that you pay for the annual fees on those credit cards. It makes it easier to keep multiple cards in your wallet and have the purchasing power and the benefits of those cards. Jen, when you're not hopping on the podcast with me, tell folks where they can find you.
Sure. You can find me at my blog, dealswelike.com, and then via social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, anything at dealswelike.
Awesome. Hey, thanks, Jen. Safe travels.
Thanks. You too, Ed.
Back on the Miles to Go podcast, talking about American Airlines' new premium economy product. And we've got Mike back on the show with us from coworkaholic.com. Hey, Mike, how are you today?
Hey, I'm doing great, Ed. How about yourself?
Doing good. And I'm certainly interested in premium economy, like a true premium economy. To be clear to folks, we're not talking about, you know, economy plus and a few extra inches of legroom. We're talking about the big three airlines, American, Delta, and United, have started to segment their planes on some international routes where there is a true premium economy cabin. In theory, you're getting a wider seat, might be getting a footrest, you're getting some soft goods. And so American has just started rolling this out, and Mike had the chance to fly it recently. What was the route that you flew it on, Mike?
I flew from Charlotte to Barcelona.
Okay, so you had a good length of flight time on the flight, and since that was most likely a red eye, you stayed up long enough to test out the meal service?
I did, for sure.
Cool. Let's walk folks through what you get and what you didn't get on this experience. So for starters, when you came in and sat down the seat, you know, walk us through how you felt about the seat from a seat width standpoint, the recline, things like that, compared to, say, an economy class seat.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, you certainly do notice the seat width, right? On this metal, it's a 2-4-2 configuration. I'm pretty sure it's that's standard on, I think, all of them. It might be 2-3-2 on the 787. Not sure. So you do feel that there is a little bit more width. There's for sure more space in front of you, but I would have expected a little bit more. I would say that it was probably just maybe an inch or two more than what you would get in a like upgraded economy seat or like one of those main cabin extra seats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, seat width I've heard is, you know, roughly equivalent to what you'd expect in, say, a domestic first class seat. So I would guess that probably feels comfortable enough for you to have, say, a pillow beside you or your iPad or something without feeling like you're bumping elbows with the person next to you?
Yeah, no, there's most definitely, it's you spot on. It's almost identical to what a domestic, you know, first class seat is these days. So you're not kind of, you know, leg or, you know, leg to leg or thigh to thigh. That said, the seat was really comfortable. The recline was plenty. The head rest is a little bit more padded than you would find in your typical coach seat. And the ends do lift up. So very much, again, like a domestic first class seat. The cabin was empty, right? So there's only two of us that were in that premium economy cabin. So I could stretch out and kind of angle myself. It worked just fine.
Yeah, and as I recall, when they announced the product, I think what they had said they were going to do. Well, let me rewind a second. Were you in a bulkhead or were you in a row with a row in front of you?
I was actually in the last row, so I had a row in front of me.
Okay, so I'm assuming you had a fold down footrest in front of you.
I did, but to be honest, it was either user error. Let's not put that past me, but it wasn't functioning for me. I was trying to push it down. And then I tried to see if I was doing it wrong. And when I finally got it to go down, maybe I'm just too tall, but the footrest rest for a person like me, I'm 6'6", was kind of useless.
Yeah. I don't necessarily know. It's just you. So the way I understand the way this cabin is laid out, the first row in premium economy actually has a leg rest that pops out of the seat because it doesn't have a fold out in the bulkhead. And so I think, you know, from a strategic standpoint, that's where I would be advising people to sit in this cabin, because I've had a few different products that that I've flown premium economy that have that footrest, and I think they're largely useless. Yeah. I don't know anybody's feet that really stay on them well. Some people like them, but I sort of feel like if you're sleeping, you're going to shift around enough that your feet are going to fall off that footrest no matter what. There's really nothing you can do to keep your feet on them.
No, I totally agree. And I thought I was just because maybe it's for people that aren't as tall as I am, but you know, it's almost like I'm sitting, right? Like if I were to put my feet on that footrest, it's really not a rest. they're not really stretched out at all. So I didn't use it at all during the flight.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm, you know, 3 or 4 inches shorter than you. And I, you know, I don't get much value out of it either. And that's where I think strategically, you know, if you can get the bulkhead row, I would go that route. I guess if you're, if you're hell bent on trying it out, go for it, because it's possible the bulkhead seats are a slightly less wide if the screen is coming down from the armrest. But I think having a true leg rest is definitely an improvement over not. How did you feel about the amenity kit and the soft goods like the pillow and the blanket?
Actually, I loved it. The pillow was actually one of the most useful airplane pillows I've had in a long time. It's far longer than anything that you'd kind of see typically. And it fit really well underneath my neck and kind of to the side. And because it was longer, I could kind of lean it up against the raised back of the seat and the wall of the plane. The blanket was super comfy. I was able to snag a pair of the Casper slippers, which are really nice. And over last summer, and I think through this fall, the amenity kits have been in a partnership with Cole Haan. And so it's kind of like a random variety of pouches, which are actually really quite useful for, you know, secondary use. A lot of times those amenity kits, I don't think they design them to be reused. Some more so than others. And the products were great. I mean, it's really nice to just to have a basic little toothbrush and a little thing of toothpaste and some chapstick, you know, to kind of keep yourself fresh so that way you don't have to worry about bringing all that stuff with you.
Yeah, I definitely agree on the Casper stuff. I saw that stuff at Media Day at AA and really liked the quality of both the pillow and the blanket. I wasn't sure how the size would work because it's a little bit of an odd size for a pillow. I'm glad to hear that that you liked it, and I do like the Cole Haan kits. In fact, I use one to store my cables when I travel with my podcasting gear.
I've most definitely started a collection of reusing those Amendi kits for some of my either grab and go, you know, audio visual stuff, my media recording stuff, or even, you know, using it to collect business cards when I'm at a conference. So they do come in handy if they're designed well.
So what did you think about the in-flight entertainment system, the movies and the screen, and do you power at your seat?
Yeah, so to be honest, I think American really deserves a shout-out. Their updated IFE software is quite impressive. It's really modern. Their selection of entertainment is as average and normal as any of the other, you know, U.S.-based carriers. But their menu system, I think, is far more advanced and modern looking than compared to the ones that I see a lot on United. The challenge I had, the biggest downside with the design of the seat, was the location of the IFE remote. And not only the location of the remote, but just the settings of the remote. On some business class seats, I know when you put the IFE remote in its holder, it kind of turns it off. This one's not as advanced. And so, you know, I'm not a small guy, but I'm also not huge. But there was more than a few times where just moving my thigh, the buttons are so sensitive, I was either fast forwarding or exiting out of a movie I was watching without wanting to do so.
That's interesting. So how did you feel about the food service on the flight? I assume that there were two meals, a dinner and then a breakfast.
Yeah, so the meal service was interesting. And I think there were probably a few factors that contributed to what I experienced. First off, there were only two of us in that cabin. And this was back in August when the premium economy product was still relatively new. I would say don't upgrade or don't buy a premium economy ticket over a coach ticket for the food. In my opinion, it just wasn't worth it. The meal was kind of thrown together. I mean, literally, because there was only two of us, maybe they were also short-staffed on the flight. But we were kind of like an afterthought. So, you know, within 10, 15 minutes, you know, we not only got a snack, which is like cold nuts, one drink and our food, but then we weren't bothered with really for the rest of service. So it was difficult trying to get someone's attention and they weren't even responding to a call, the call button.
What did you think about the quality of the entree that you had?
It was fine. I've had just as good options in coach on other international carriers. It was just kind of just not in a disposable tray. It was, you know, in a, I think it might have, it wasn't China, but it was kind of like a porcelain or heavy duty plastic plate. The breakfast also was really not anything more than what you got in coach. In coach, I think you got a croissant and yogurt. We got croissant, yogurt, and some fruit, but only a few pieces. So, I would say that the food doesn't really hold up its value in what the total cost is to upgrade from coach to premium economy.
And if someone's considering whether they want to move from coach to premium economy, and you're coaching them on making that decision, you know, for a flight of the length that you flew, you know, what would you spend or would you recommend somebody spends for that upgrade?
Personally, if I had paid cash for that upgrade, if I would have paid more than $400, I would have been really, really steamed. At the end of the day, what you're doing is paying for extra space and a little bit more of a secluded cabin. It's nice not to, you know, like I said, be thigh to thigh with someone for 8 hours. That to me is worth about $400 and having a little bit more room to do work or be able to open up my laptop without the seat in front of me, you know, keeping it at a negative angle. I was shocked. I tried to upgrade originally, And at first I was told that I couldn't. And then I called back and was told that the paid difference was going to be $1,200. I was like, well, I'm not going to do that. And I'm grateful that, you know, the purser offered me a complimentary upgrade as an executive platinum. But if I would have paid $1,200, I would have been really PO'd.
Yeah, I can imagine. $1,200 sounds pretty insane for that level of increase on that sort of a flight. That's the sort of what I would expect to pay to be in business class for an 8-hour
flight. Well, yeah, and considering that, you know, on my return from Barcelona back home to Chicago, I only paid $500 to get upgraded to business, right? So I think they probably still have some work to do as it relates to, you know, better setting up the algorithms for the pricing, because it just seems to be all over the place.
Yeah, no, that doesn't surprise me. Well, cool. Well, thanks a bunch for walking us through the elements of American Airlines Premium Economy. For folks listening in that want to get a better look and feel for the cabin, we'll have a link to Mike's post in the show notes. Mike, when you're not hopping on the podcast with us or jaunting off to Barcelona, tell folks where they can find you.
Yeah, you can find me on our website, coworkaholic.com. We're also on Instagram at coworkaholic, Facebook as well, and Twitter is at the coworkaholic.
Awesome. Well, safe travels, Mike. We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast. While we're taking a quick break from the show, I wanted to let you know about my other podcast, the Now Boarding Podcast. It's the official boarding area podcast, and it's where we dive in and get to know each of the boarding area bloggers that you follow with a 30-minute sit-down where we go deep into how they like to travel, why they started traveling, and the sort of things that they're an expert on. Each episode focuses on one individual blogger, and we put out a new episode every Tuesday. So if you're enjoying Miles to Go and you want to find more great travel bloggers to follow along with, tune in. You can find Now Boarding on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever else you find great podcasts. Now, back to the show. Back to wrap up this week's show with the final two pennies. If you're a regular listener or you follow my blog, you've heard me talk plenty about Marriott's integration with SPG. While that caused us a lot of problems, frankly, still is causing problems, there have been a few gems along the way. Namely, a bunch of the very high-end resorts actually dropped in price for award redemptions when the integration happened this summer. We expected this would only last until January 2019, but maybe we should have known better given all the other delays. Marriott just a few days ago told us that we wouldn't see the new Category 8 redemption level rates rise until March of 2019. And we're still not sure when the new peak and off-peak rates will start. Now, the peak-off-peak change could be a positive or a negative. Nobody's really sure just quite yet. At any rate, since you have a bit longer to book some of those ultra-luxury resorts, in some cases for fewer points than it would have cost you prior to August, it's time to start booking 2019 and 2020 vacations. That's a full wrap on this week's episode. If you have questions I can help answer, send them in so we can answer them in a future episode. You can email me at ed@pizzainmotion.com, or you can hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. All search for Miles to Go. One last thing, we've got a new way for you to submit questions and be part of the show. If you visit our website, miles2go.boardingarea.com, you'll see an orange tab on the right-hand side labeled Send Voicemail. You can send us a voicemail with your question for us to answer on a future show. Disclaimer, we may use your voicemail on the show. You'll also see the voicemail option pop up in some of my blog posts in the future. If you're enjoying the show, two quick things. Please hit the subscribe button wherever you're listening, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and leave us a comment and a rating. We read all of your comments and they help us make the show better. By subscribing and rating the podcast, you're helping us grow the audience. Thanks again for listening. And a big thanks to Tiffany, Jen, and Mike for helping me put together a great show this week. We're already putting together a great episode for next week, but until then, we've got miles to go.